Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us here on a Tuesday, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. You hear this term a lot, right? Two things can be true at the same time. And a lot of times in sports, we get a game and we say, well, which team, you know, the team that won it, they won it, or did the other team lose it? And sometimes two things can be true at the same time. Sometimes a team wins it because they're really good and they're well put together and they execute brilliantly. But on the flip side, the other team didn't live up to the potential that they were brought into the game with, right? That they lost as well as the other team dominated. And I think, for me, that was Monday Night Football. The San Francisco 49ers are a really good football team. Jimmy Garoppolo was very efficient. Two touchdown passes, no interceptions. They had 20 of 29. They ran the ball great. The defense was fantastic. But the Browns didn't live up to anything that we saw the week prior when they went on the road and beat Baltimore. Now, the narrative of the Browns is going to easily be made today by a lot of people. This was a massively overhyped team. Freddie Kitchens is in way over his head. We believed in the Browns too much. And that's easily. It's easy to write. It's easy to say. But let's be honest about the Browns for a second. Baker Mayfield, the verdict isn't still out on Baker Mayfield. He's a legit NFL quarterback. He can play in this league. He had a terrible game. A very terrible game. 100 yards passing, two interceptions, 8 of 22. He was pressured all game. He was sacked four times. He had a terrible game. He's a young quarterback, but he does belong in the NFL. This isn't another situation where the Browns are still putting out the feelers to see if he can actually play, like they've done with other quarterbacks in the past. And Odell Beckham Jr. is an elite wide receiver. This is a team, and Nick Chubb is fast. This is a team that's got skilled players. They got Jarvis Landry. They are a skilled football team. They didn't play very well at all. They played terrible. They didn't look very prepared. And they didn't know what to do once the 49ers raced out to an early lead in this game. But the narrative that they're the same old Cleveland Browns, they looked like it, but not really. You should, if you are in Cleveland, you should be upset at the way this team played, but and not shrugging your shoulders that it's the same old, same old, same old, and you were fooled. This is still a potentially very good football team that had a very miserable night.
Instead of you getting crushed by the bookmakers yet again, let Chris Long, Lenny C., and the rest of the team at Win With Sports help you crush them instead. They offer multiple packages that include their best bets of the week. Just head over to winwithsports.com today. That's winwithsports.com. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. So Monday Night Football last night was over quick. So if you liked baseball, this was your chance to really kind of settle into the baseball games that were going on all day and never really have to head on over to Monday Night Football. But I'm sure most of you did to see if the Cleveland Browns could come back from an early 14-0 deficit. They didn't, much to my surprise. I thought the Browns were going to try to make this a game, but they couldn't.
They didn't even come close.
Didn't even come close. At one point, Booger McFarland, who I like as an analyst, but like all analysts, I think, gets a little overhyped. And it gets a little too energized and too excited. There was one point where the Browns were marching down the field. They were down 14-0. They were marching down the field. Nick Chubb had a nice run or something and put him in the red zone. And Booger McFarland goes, "America, here comes the Cleveland Browns." And I was like, easy, cowboy. Let's see if they get in the end zone first. Because you just got done explaining that Baker Mayfield is having a terrible year in the red zone, And so hold off on the brakes before you start saying that the here they come, because that was the last time he said that. All right? They didn't really do anything else, except they did have another drive near the goal line. They kind of slowed down the hyperbole, and then Baker Mayfield threw an interception that wasn't his fault because Antonio Callaway couldn't catch it, and then it bounced like off his shin or foot or whatever it was and bounced up and was picked off by the 49ers.
Just one of those weird ones.
Weird bouncing ball. So the two interceptions by Mayfield, I mean, I didn't see, I was flipping back and forth, so I didn't see one of them, but the other one, that's not his fault. Callaway should have caught that.
Yeah. But I don't even think, I'm trying to remember the first one. I don't know if that one was his fault either.
I was probably watching Max Scherzer's arm fall off.
Dude, seriously.
In the other game, because I watched a lot of that.
That was pathetic.
I mean, Max Scherzer.
He's done.
He was gassed last night towards the end of that game. And thank God the Nationals held on. And good for him for 35 years old out there chucking it, trying to keep the Dodgers in check. Good for him. I watched a lot of that game because that series is now tied up at two. But I said this at the top of the hour, and I don't want to bury the Browns yet. It's easy to do. My God, did I want to do that today. I really did. I want to be like, oh, yeah, the Browns, oh, we overhyped them. Let's slow down a little bit. This is still a good football team, and you're allowed an egg every now and then. Yep. It's not college football. You're not winning or losing on style points. The 49ers are 4-0, but could lose in the opening round of the playoffs. They could fall apart and not make the playoffs. I think this Browns team, though, needs to have a kind of a gut check a little bit, because you don't want to fall in the trap where the curse of the franchise hits you and you feel like you're not as confident. This is still a good, talented football team that I don't think is being coached as well as they could be.
Yeah.
And maybe better prepared, I guess. I don't know. But
no, that was something yesterday watching Freddie Kitchens in the press conference. I mean, I don't know. He wasn't even throwing excuses out there. It almost seemed like he was in over his head.
And listen, it's not his fault Baker Mayfield wasn't good, but Baker Mayfield's had plenty of good games. It's one of the reasons that Hulu has him, and oh God, mm-hmm. the commercial for that he protect this house, I guess whatever insurance company it is. Is that State Farm? How sad is it that you do a commercial and I don't even know what the product is? But the reason he's on these national ads is because last year was a revelation that this guy could play at the next level. He was good. The Browns were competitive many games.
And he is good. He's a good player. I mean,
he had a terrible football game, which a lot of guys have had terrible football games.
Well, I'll tell you what. Nick Bosa is a grown-ass man.
He really is.
Oh, my God.
He really is.
I mean, just give him the Defensive Rookie of the Year award now.
He was fantastic. And that's really the first time I saw him in a complete game setting.
Yeah, me too.
And it was excellent. And listen, the whole plant the flag thing was kind of a cool storyline, too. Yep. That was really good. And George Kittle, who we saw a lot of last year, he had a fantastic game, too. Listen, this 49er team looks really sharp.
Yeah.
Really sharp.
I mean, it was really the first time I've watched them play this year.
Yeah, exactly.
I still don't know who they are.
Yeah, that's true. I would get you that.
I don't know who their identity is, but I mean, if they play like that week in and week out, that's a tough, tough team.
Tough team. Good defensive team. And again, the offensive line for the Cleveland Browns didn't really have much in terms of protection, but put that on more of the 49ers than the Browns' lack of offensive line.
Yeah, when you
play. The 49ers were great.
When you have a guy like Bosa who's crawling to get a sack,
it's unreal.
You're done.
And so all of a sudden now, look, because the Lions have not found the basement, they're really good, right? They're still really good. The NFC North is still the best division in football, but outside the fact that Arizona isn't good, you're talking about the 49ers, the Seattle Seahawks, the LA Rams. These are three of some of the best teams in the NFL, right? In the same division. And that was a very impressive wake-up call from me to see if the 49ers belonged in a conversation with, you know, even teams that have one loss, like the Seattle Seahawks, who I think is, after watching them on Thursday against the LA Rams, thought, man, this is a really good, tough out. Again, this is a Seattle team that, with Russell Wilson playing at an MVP level, you're going to be hard-pressed to find many teams be able to go to Seattle and beat the Seahawks. And I know the Rams lost that Thursday, but I felt like, and I said this on Friday, I felt like the Seattle Seahawks had outplayed the Rams, and the Rams were a Greg Zuerlein field goal away from winning that game. So I, you know, so look at that division, how amazing it is outside of the fact that they all get Arizona to kind of push around a little bit. So, but again, back to Cleveland, I don't think this is, oh my God, it was all a farce. It's all exposed. Let's not go crazy here. You have Odell Beckham Jr. and Baker Mayfield and Jarvis Landry and Nick Chubb, when he finds open field, I couldn't believe people caught him. He's amazingly fast. This is still a good football team that had a bad night. This is still a team that can beat you.
And for all you Twitter heads, what do you call these people? Twitter people.
Call them Twitter heads. That's Twitter fine. Heads. Right.
You know, they're not going to break up. There's not going to be dissension. No one's going to be demanding a trade. None of that's going to happen yet. You know, they had a bad night. I just love how everyone just jumps to that conclusion immediately.
Right. They want because it's so easy to do. It's just the easy take.
Everyone's demanding a trade. They're the new Dolphins of the NFL.
Right, right. Easy. You can make the comments about Freddie Kitchens, and that seems legit. Maybe he wasn't the right hire to be the head coach of this team.
They need Bob Wiley back.
Maybe they need Bob Wiley back. That's right. But the talent is there. This should be a very – look, there when you're a franchise – like the Browns, been around since 99, one playoff appearance. Yeah, you can be angry when they lose, but when you've had so many losses and so many bad seasons and a winless season and a one-win season and all of that, it's more likely that you're just going to be, when they lose. But if I'm a Browns fan, I'm angry that they didn't show up for this game. I'm mad. The expectation was they should have been competitive with an elite football team like San Francisco, or at least the perception that they were an elite football team going into this game being unbeaten. They didn't show up at all. They were embarrassed. But even Tom Brady has had games in his career where he didn't play particularly well and the Patriots lost, and lost where you went, oh, that wasn't good. There was a blowout loss against Buffalo years and years ago. Sometimes you have these games. The Browns have to regroup, but 2-3, here come the detractors, and they're going to be pouring in on this organization because that's what we do, right? You give us all of this hype. You give us this bravado. When you don't live up to the bravado, we are going to attack. And that's what they're going to be feeling for the next week until they find a way to get back to 500. But they got to be careful because they've got the Seahawks coming up. They've got the Patriots coming up. And look, a trip to Denver isn't – right now the Broncos are weak, but Denver is a tough place to play. And the Broncos will play you tough at their place. But they've also got a Bills team with a phenomenal defense. They could go 1-3 in the next four games. They could easily go 1-3 in the next four games. Yep. And this could fall apart quick. And then we'd really be talking about
a letdown. After these next four games, then we can talk about, you know, players demanding a trade.
That's right.
OBJ made a mistake.
Right.
Could have just been with a young Daniel Jones and lighting up the world.
Of all the teams you get, though, because they have a bye week in the middle, of all the teams you get after your bye week, you get the Patriots. I don't care if you have 10 weeks off.
Yeah.
You're not going to beat the Patriots in Foxborough.
Or maybe that's the game they win.
Yeah. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is that the game they win, right? The Patriots don't go 6-0 all the time, right?
Yeah.
Right? The Patriots do lose 3, 4, 5 games a year. Maybe this is the one game. Who knows? Maybe they'd be ready to go. But, and they've got the mighty Steelers twice. Oh, they do have a stretch where they play the Steelers twice, the Dolphins, the Bengals, and the Cardinals. That's a 5-game stretch.
I mean, that's a good win.
That's a good way,
good winning streak to put on.
So after you get done with the Bills and you're limping around at, like, you know, 3-6 after that.
That'll work, yeah.
You go, all right, here's 5 straight wins against the Steelers twice, Dolphins, Bengals, and Cardinals. That is fantastic. They got the Dolphins, Bengals, and Cardinals on their schedule. And they got the Bengals to close out the year. So it's not the end of the world, Cleveland.
And that's all you really need. You don't need to be winning all the games. You just need to have a hot streak towards the end.
That's right.
And ride
that's
that right into the playoffs.
All right, coming up, we'll get into the baseball playoffs because there was a lot of them. And guess what? There's going to be more baseball in the divisional series thanks to some performances by teams yesterday. We'll get to that coming up next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, one out of every four batteries will fail this winter, so get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has a Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so there was four Major League Baseball games on yesterday. Wow. If you love the playoffs, all day was for you.
They had it.
They had it. Early afternoon, Tampa Bay and Houston, then it went into St. Louis and the Braves, then it went to Washington and the Dodgers, and then the nightcap, the Yankees at Minnesota. I want to get to the Yankees first. So baseball, and you heard me say this many times, baseball is very regional. And, you know, look, last night we have Monday Night Football, which we, you know, as a country, we've all kind of watched. We watch the Thursday night games and the Sunday night games, and we like football, and football's kind of embedded into our fall with fantasy, and you're interested in other games and other teams. Baseball just doesn't really have that. The NBA does, too. Like, the NBA will have a Wednesday night game where you might want to watch the Rockets play the Golden State Warriors, or LeBron and the Lakers meet Giannis and the Bucks on a regular season Thursday night, whatever it is. The NBA has that sort of national appeal, too. Baseball really doesn't. So I was telling Ron this before the show. The Yankees are playing the Twins, and I never watch Twins baseball. I don't have the MLB strike zone, whatever they call it, the package or whatever it is. Yeah, I'm not watching Twins baseball.
And if they ever have like a Sunday night baseball or a Wednesday night baseball, it's not on your radar.
Yeah, and I don't see them a lot on Sunday night baseball anyway, right? So anyway, last night was my real first viewing experience of Target Field, which has been around a little bit. It's gorgeous. What a gorgeous ballpark. A gorgeous ballpark. Well, you're not going to see it anymore because the Yankees won and that closed out that series 3-0.
Oh, I missed it.
If you missed it, you missed it. And watch the replay. But wow, what a gorgeous ballpark.
Check it out next year.
Very disappointed in this series. I thought the series would be good. The Twins won over 100 games. They can slam home runs with the best of them. Did the best in the American League. Just didn't show up. Couldn't show up. Couldn't get any. And the Yankees pitching was actually better than I thought it was going to be in this series. But the Yankees hit the home runs. They got the runs, put up five more. They ended up with 23 in the three-game series. That's over seven. I've done the math. And they closed this out relatively easily. Luis Severino, four scoreless. Everybody else came out of the pen, tightened things up for the Yankees, and they advance. Now, the Yankees should have advanced last night, well, and knew that they were going to play the Astros. They're still going to play the Astros. It just hasn't been sealed yet because Tampa Bay decided to show up at Tropicana Field and rough up Zach Greinke for six runs in 3 2/3, hitting three home runs off the Astros starter, and they win 10-3 to extend their run in this ALDS.
Yeah, what was funny to me is that when Charlie Morton played here, he had a particular middle name.
I gotcha.
It was Charlie Blank and Morton.
Why? Was he bad? I thought he was
He was good. That's why.
Right. I told this when you were out Friday, I said this to Bobby Beats. I said, wasn't Charlie Morton good when he played for the Astros? He goes, he was all right. I thought he was better than all right.
He was the World Series hero.
Right, wasn't he?
I mean, George Springer got the MVP, but he was the one who led the charge, especially in the clinching game.
Why did he go to the Rays? Better money, or they just didn't want
the Astros can only keep so many.
So many, right? I mean, they got Verlander, they got Garrett Cole.
It was a crowded. I mean, they
crowded rotation.
Basically, what they did is they went with Lance McCullers versus Charlie Morton.
Got it. Okay,
and that was another reason why Dallas Keuchel left, because they said, well, you know, we got Verlander and Cole. Keuchel, you're expendable.
That's right. Okay.
But Charlie, you know, Charlie had that particular middle name here in Houston, and it was a positive thing. I think now it's a negative. I think they might be saying the same thing because he owned the Astros yesterday.
He was lights out good. I mean, he had nine strikeouts.
Yeah, he gave up one big hit to Altuve. Maybe that was, you know, hey, bud, I miss you.
Yeah.
Pitch. I don't know. Because that ball got tattooed quickly. And but, yeah, he was I was surprised that Zach Greinke didn't do that well.
So here is my problem with the Rays, because I've joked about how I don't know the Rays very well. All right. Even though my wife is from St. Pete and is actually a Rays fan. No, I don't know them as well.
There are no Rays fans out there.
She doesn't pay attention enough to be a Rays fan.
All those people in the stands were given free tickets and said, hey, there's a baseball game. Come on out.
Here's the extent of my wife's Rays fandom. Hey, are the Rays in the playoffs? Yes. Oh, great. Are they winning? Yes. Awesome. Go Rays. That's the extent of my wife's Rays fandom. That's really it. So Kevin Kiermaier hit a home run. G-Man Choi hit a home run. All right. Willie Adams hit a home run, but his last name isn't Adams. It's Adames. But I've been calling him Adams. Yeah. Stupid me. Because he's got that extra E on the end of his last name. So I screwed up that.
Say you're naming ball players.
Right. But I could be naming anybody.
But you could be naming anybody.
Right.
You could just be talking about people in the office.
And then there's Brendan Lowe, which I think is it's pronounced another way than that. And I don't really know. So those are the three guys who hit home runs, and I barely know any of them. But I do know Zach Greinke, and I know he gave them all up. So there you go. But the Astros have Verlander, and they will end this quickly today.
Yeah, well, he
better.
They were going, they were going to go with somebody else. And I can't remember who they were going to go with, and Verlander says, nah, give me the ball.
No, give me the ball. Let's end this thing. Let's go home.
Let's just wrap it up now.
God, what are we wasting our time here for? Because America, you want the Astros and the Yankees. You don't want Willie Adams, Adames, or Kevin Kiermaier, or Travis d'Arnaud. No offense to any of these guys. They're fine ball players, but this isn't the baseball team you want in the American League Championship Series. Can we all agree on that? Except for you people in St. Pete who joined the bandwagon as soon as this team made the postseason?
Yeah.
How many empty seats were at Tropicana Field yesterday? I mean, 10,000?
Versus how many were empty last month?
Right. When they were making a run towards the wild card.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So the Astros should wrap this thing up. But the National League, I'm going to be honest with you, I got no idea who's going to be in the NLCS. I don't know. If Steven Strasburg pitches his tail off in game 5, the Nationals have a chance to win that game. And the Atlanta Braves and the St. Louis Cardinals, that was the most interesting game of the day. That went 10 innings. Atlanta gave up a run to Yadier Molina, an RBI to Yadier Molina in the bottom of the 8th inning that tied the game at 4. And then Molina had a sack fly that won the game in the bottom of the 10th. But here is the interesting stat for the Braves. The Braves were 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. You got to get some runs across on the road at Busch Stadium. Now you force this into a game 5 at SunTrust Park on Wednesday. I think these two evenly matched teams. But you know who called it? You and I called it. Didn't we say this was going to be the best game, the best series of them all?
Without a doubt.
This series has been tight, close.
I didn't think the Dodgers-Nationals would go the distance.
Me either.
This was a little surprising and a little upsetting for me.
Because isn't baseball tricky? I mean, like in the NBA, when you get into a game 7 and you know there's one team that's better than the other, you kind of go, okay, I kind of expect this to play out. You know, hockey, the puck can bounce any particular way. Baseball's very bizarre. Baseball's bizarre because the best team doesn't always beat the worst team all the time. Good starting pitching can propel you. There's momentum that can come in all different directions. Sometimes just getting that extra runner across is enough to put you over the top. You never know. I don't like game 5s. I don't like game 7s if you're a fan of a team that's heavily favored like the Dodgers were. It just makes you nervous. You just can't count on anything. You just don't know if your starting pitcher is going to be taken out after an inning and a half, or he's going to go 7 strong and just blow you away.
You don't know if your starting pitcher is going to be like Greinke.
That's right.
Because Greinke, I mean, he was lights out by the time he got to the Astros, he's been lights out the entire season.
Absolutely.
Now we're looking at him like, oh my God, you just threw up you were throwing beach balls at the Rays last night.
And so we've got 3 series that are still going to go down, and one is complete, Yankees over the Twins, which I thought was still going to go on. But that's not the case. Baseball's still playing around in their divisional series. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Jay Gruden is still fired from the Redskins, right? They didn't change their mind and say, oh, I'm sorry. We jumped the gun.
Nah, he's still fired.
He's still fired.
Because the culture is strong there in Washington, D.C.
So did you hear what Ed Werder tweeted out about there's a possibility that the Redskins, and I don't know, sometimes when these guys, these insiders, I don't know if some of them are just like, I'm just going to throw this out there. Maybe I can get one person to confirm this and it'll be just fun fodder to just throw it out there. But he's thrown out the possibility that the Redskins could go after Mike Tomlin of the Steelers because Tomlin is from Eastern Virginia.
Yeah.
And loves the area. Now, the way it's been presented is that the Steelers are off to this 1-4 start. They're not a good football team. They got, Ben Roethlisberger's out. They now have Mason Rudolph in the concussion protocol. It could get spiral out of the control quickly. And maybe there's just a point where he just says, I've been here long enough. Thanks for everything. I want a new challenge. This team kind of fell apart. And let's have a mutual split. Now, at first I went, yeah, but that would be a dumb move because he's going to go work for Dan Snyder when you could work for the Rooneys. And, the Rooneys are very loyal. I mean, the Steelers have had three coaches in my entire life. But Snyder isn't George Steinbrenner either. Like, Snyder doesn't just pull the trigger. I mean, Jay Gruden had 6 years to be the coach there, and they didn't really do anything in the 6 years that he was there. So he's not like George Steinbrenner when Steinbrenner would get all fire happy with his managers with the Yankees. But he's not the Rooneys either. He's by far not the Rooneys either, where the Rooneys have a lot of patience and will let you have up and down seasons, which Tomlin had. I mean, Tomlin didn't always lead the Steelers to the playoffs. There were some years where they were disappointing, but they don't fire coaches. I mean, all the last two have left on their own accord. I mean, Chuck Knoll read the writing on the wall and said, that's time for me to get out of this. Bill Cowher kind of felt the same way. Been there long enough, wanted to do something else. And Tomlin may go about it the same way, but Tomlin could stay for a number of years. But does Dan Snyder dampen one of the top jobs with one of the top franchises historically in the NFL? Does he dampen them? Because the Redskins are, you're talking about Joe Gibbs. You're talking about, the Redskins, man, this is a big deal. Before the Carolina Panthers got to Charlotte, the Redskins owned the entire Southeast corridor all the way down. You could find Redskins fans all through the Carolinas because they owned that territory. They've got a very, very big fan base, loyal fan base. They're one of more of the iconic teams of the National Football League. But does working for Dan Snyder make you go, ugh, I don't know? Or does your love for the area, if you're Mike Tomlin, make you go, I don't care who the owner is.
No,
I have confidence in my ability. I'm not going to, I don't stress losing my job because I've had so much success with the Steelers that if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And I'll just find something else to do.
Yeah. I get the feeling that working for Dan Snyder would be like working for James Dolan.
Right.
I think they're two similar owners where there's too much involvement, but bad involvement.
Yeah, I could see that.
And I saw the same thing that, Mike Tomlin. First of all, if he does make a move, they can't do it midseason, right?
I've never
seen a coach traded in the middle of the season.
They would be Steelers go 5-12.
What would the Redskins have to give up for that guy?
Steelers go 5-11, and then I'm done.
But if you're a coach, you have this team that has been, one of the dominant teams in the AFC for more than a decade. You have a bad season. I would think it would be hard to walk away from that unless you're looking for a new challenge. But I would think that if you had a 5-11, you're like, I need to right this ship. I can fix this.
Yeah, and you're going to get Roethlisberger back, and you moved up in the draft to get Devin Bush, right? So you're excited about your defense. You traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick. You've got 8 first-round draft picks on that defense, which is playing great. I mean, the Steelers' defense is playing really, really well. Their offense just can't match them. They just can't, the matchup. Then they'd be Steelers, they're getting turnovers, but they can't turn them into anything. So you've got that, but if you get Roethlisberger back, you're seeing the development of Juju Smith-Schuster, needs to hold on to the ball a little bit better, but you're still seeing a team that is just a couple of tweaks away from becoming a very good football team. If you're Mike Tomlin, you look at that and go, look, I'd rather do that than deal with all of the rebuilding stuff that's going on in Washington that I don't want to take care of, that I don't want to be part of. I don't want to be the next couple of years of weeding out players, bringing in other players, redoing and resetting everything because the team needs a kind of a reboot. I don't want to do that. I'd rather stay with the Steelers where when we get our star quarterback back, I like that. If our star quarterback retires, I like the kid that's behind him. All right. So that's, but again, there's some sort of appeal towards an area of the country you just like. I mean, if you love living in Eastern Virginia, if that's your home where it was, you played for William and Mary, you grew up there. If you love that area of the country and want to go back to there, sometimes it's calling. But sometimes I always warn people about that. Sometimes you can't go home again. Sometimes it's not a good idea to do that. It doesn't work out like you think it works out. It just sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. And it makes you go, oh, did I make a bad decision? You see this in college all the time, right? Where whenever there's an opening at any school, any major school anyway, where it's a legit conversation to have about people, you hear the fan bases always say like, oh, Urban Meyer should come here because he was once the wide receivers coach when he was 21. Well, did he love it that much that he would that he'd want to go coach at that school again? But you hear that a lot because there's always this belief that there's something more than just the job, right? The area of the country is nice. The cost of living is great. There's great weather or there's great scenery or whatever it is, right? There's always a little more than just the job. For Tomlin, the job is probably worse, right? Coaching the Redskins is worse than coaching the Steelers, but going home and being part of that, living in that area again that he loves might override that. And he goes, well, you know what? It's still one of 32 jobs in the world. And that is being an NFL head coach, which I'll still get to do. And if I can turn this franchise around, that's a challenge. That's a challenge that's worth taking. Because the Steeler fans, there's no turning around, right? The Steelers expect to be competitive. And if you're not, it's disappointing. But I think the Redskins fans are at a point where they want somebody to come in and reboot this thing and get back to winning ways. And I think that might be appealing. But this also might be just fodder to be thrown out there to see what happens. Just to put a taste out there. So, but it's interesting. Because, you know, Dan Snyder... He took over, he bought the team in like the late 90s, right? I don't think the Redskins have, besides the 1 year Mike Shanahan RG3 in the playoffs, have the Redskins, am I missing a year where the Redskins were one of the top teams in the NFL?
No, they haven't been in years.
Since Dan Snyder bought the team? I mean, forget when Rippon was their quarterback and they beat Buffalo. I mean, was there ever a 13-3 season that the Redskins like maybe got upset in that I'm missing? Because I can't remember that. Because I don't think it exists since he took over that franchise. And again, I mean, listen, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the great battles in the 80s when Joe Theismann was there and John Riggins was there, and they would play the Cowboys and the Giants, the Eagles. Right? They won two Super Bowls. They had Theismann at the quarterback. They had Mark Rippon at quarterback. They had Doug Williams. Remember when they beat the Broncos? Both, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think the two Super Bowl wins in the 80s came during strike-shortened seasons. I know the first one did, where strike really wreaked havoc on the season and the playoffs. The playoffs were a different format because of the strike-shortened year. But I think the 87 was replacement players, and the replacement scrubs actually helped the Redskins win the Super Bowl, and there was a debate whether or not they should give the scrubs Super Bowl rings, the guys that came in and kind of kept the ship afloat for them and put them in position when the playoffs did start to actually have a better standing in the NFC. But, you know, I think they ended up doing that. There's something they did a 30-for-30 on it, but I don't think they did right away because, you know, players don't like scrub players. They don't like replacement players.
So that wasn't going to go down. Daniel Snyder bought the team in 99.
All right, so late 90s.
So that season in 99, they won the wild card playoff but lost the divisional playoff game to the Buccaneers.
Okay.
2005, they made it to the wild card. They won They beat the Buccaneers, but then lost to the Seahawks.
All right.
2007, lost in the wild card game.
And who was their coach at that time, does it say?
Yeah, Joe Gibbs.
Joe Gibbs. Okay, so Joe Gibbs made a return.
Joe Gibbs was the coach in 2005 and 2007.
Okay.
Mike Shanahan was the coach in 2012.
That's the RG3.
That's the RG3 one where the
he left him out there too long.
Yeah.
That playoff game where you're like, he's on one leg. And he was out there, and Shanahan's like, yeah, keep going.
Yeah, and then
I can't play.
Just in 2015, they won the East and made the playoffs, but lost to the Packers.
Lost to the Packers. Okay.
So, I mean, most of the time,
though, they've had a few playoff appearances, but never a deep run.
But most of the time, when you look at it since 99, they either finished third or fourth with a losing record.
Yep. Okay. So every now and then, they'd pop up.
They'd have
not make a real deep run.
Season where they went 10-6 is by far their best under Daniel Snyder's. Yeah. Under Daniel Snyder's ownership, they've never done better than 10-6.
Oh, see, that's terrible. Not one year do they catch fire and be like, we're a 12-4 football team.
Yeah, they've won.
We're really good.
They've only won the East three times. And the other two times they finished second. And then the weird one in 2007, they finished third in the East.
Gotcha.
And were able to make the playoffs.
Gotcha. Joe Gibbs is one of the smartest guys I've ever met. This is a guy that mastered NASCAR and football.
Yes.
These are two really complicated sports. And he mastered both of them. I only met Joe Gibbs in NASCAR when I was covering it and covering it like really seriously. And he was the smartest guy I met. I remember we were at a press conference with him, another friend of mine from college, and he was working for the local New Hampshire paper, and I was with the radio station. And we both sat there and listened to Joe Gibbs talk about racing. No football. Just the complications of racing, this camber and this setting and this tire pressure and this driver and the track and blah, 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 blah. And we both walked away and said, and he is a 3-time Super Bowl champion. That's how good Joe Gibbs was. It was like amazing to hear him talk about racing and realize he also was a 3-time Super Bowl winning coach in the NFL. He is remarkable. But again, it's still an elite job. It's still one of the top elite jobs in the NFL. They won't obviously have any problems finding a guy to take it, but it is a rebuilding process in Washington. All right, coming up, more thoughts on the NFL Monday Night Football. It was a busy, busy day yesterday. We'll also get to more of the baseball stuff coming up next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I'm sure the Monday Night Football numbers will still be better than baseball. It's just, that's how it works. But if that game last night was competitive, really competitive, they would have dwarfed the baseball numbers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just dwarfed them. They're still going to outrank. I mean, it's just the way we are. We're a football culture.
Yep.
These games, even if they're blowouts, we just like watching them. But it really just goes to show you the power of the NFL. And this is a larger kind of issue thing. I mean, remember when the anthem kneeling and people took their shots at the league and people said they would never watch again and blah, 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 blah. And then the NFL
how are those
was
five people doing
right. I remember telling people, calm down. You know what? Maybe some of you never came back to the game. I get it. Maybe it was, but the league was just going through a dip in a cycle. And I know everybody wanted to have a shot at the NFL to say, oh, they better be careful. They better be. No, their numbers may not be good, but they're still the best in sports. They may have dipped in certain areas, but it's still the best in sports. When you had four Major League Baseball games, and some of those games were really good, some of those games came down to the wire. When you had four Major League Baseball games on, and all of them were postseason games, and some of them were elimination games, and the NFL is still going to outdraw you in the ratings for a game between Cleveland and San Francisco, who you don't have to take the Wayback Machine that far to find two very, very bad franchises. Remember, the 49ers lost Jimmy Garoppolo last year and had the number two pick in the draft, and they turned that out into gold last night. But you don't have to go back that far to find these two teams were not very good, and yet that game, because of both of those teams got better, and there was an anticipation that it would be a very good game, but nevertheless, still a Week 5 regular season game, still going to beat out four baseball playoff games, and the one game that featured the Yankees. So a bleed-in from the Washington-Dodger game and the Yankee game, and they're still going to get better ratings than either one of those. It just goes to show you the power of this league. It may take hits. All leagues take hits. All leagues go through something controversial that they've got to either repair or figure out or fix. But that doesn't mean that it's on its last legs, right? Concussions, a dwindling participation in youth sport and youth football, the anthem kneeling controversy, all of that. The league is going to survive, and it's going to thrive at times, and it's going to dip at times because that's the nature of sports. But it is still the king in this country. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Dave Preston, WTOP, on the Redskins situation. Where do they go from here? And a little Nationals baseball next hour, SB Nation AM.